the Reformation, notwithstanding all the persecution of the saints, living witnesses for God's truth were raised up on every hand. Angels of the Lord were doing the work committed to their trust. They were searching in the darkest places and selecting out of the darkness men who were honest in heart. These were all buried up in error, yet God called them, as he did Saul, to be chosen vessels to bear his truth and raise their voices against the sins of his professed people. Angels of God moved upon the hearts of Martin Luther, Melanchthon, and others in different places and caused them to thirst for the living testimony of the Word of God. The enemy had come in like a flood, and the standard must be raised up against him. Luther was the one chosen to breast the storm, stand up against the ire of a fallen church, and strengthen the few who were faithful to their holy profession. He was ever fearful of offending God. He tried through works to obtain his favor, but was not satisfied until a gleam of light from heaven drove the darkness from his mind and led him to trust not in works but in the merits of the blood of Christ. He could then come to God for himself, not through popes or confessors, but through Jesus Christ alone. Oh, how precious to Luther was this new and glorious light which had dawned upon his dark understanding and driven away his superstitions. He prized it higher than the richest earthly treasure. The Word of God was new. Everything was changed. The book he had dreaded because he could not see beauty in it was now life eternal to him. It was his joy, his consolation, his blessed teacher. Nothing could induce him to leave its study. He had feared death, but as he read the Word of God, all his terrors disappeared, and he admired the character of God and loved him. He searched the Bible for himself and feasted upon the rich treasures it contained. Then he searched it for the church. He was disgusted with the sins of those in whom he had trusted for salvation, and as he saw many others enshrouded in the same darkness which had covered him, he anxiously sought an opportunity to point them to the Lamb of God, who alone taketh away the sin of the world. Raising his voice against the errors and sins of the papal church, he earnestly endeavored to break the chain of darkness which was confining thousands and causing them to trust in works for salvation. He longed to be enabled to open to their minds the true riches of the grace of God and the excellence of salvation obtained through Jesus Christ. In the power of the Holy Spirit, he cried out against the existing sins of the leaders of the church, and as he met the storm of opposition from the priests, his courage failed not, but he firmly relied upon the strong arm of God and confidently trusted in him for victory. As he pushed the battle closer and closer, the rage of the priest was kindled still hotter against him. They did not wish to be reformed. They chose to be left in ease, in wanton pleasure and wickedness, and they desired the church also to be kept in darkness. I saw that Luther was ardent and zealous, fearless and bold in reproving sin and advocating the truth. He cared not for wicked men or devils. He knew that he had one with him mightier than they all. Luther possessed zeal, courage, and boldness, and at times was in danger of going to extremes. But God raised up Melanchthon, who was just the opposite in character, to aid Luther in carrying on the work of the Reformation. Melanchthon was timid, fearful, cautious, and possessed great patience. He was greatly beloved of God. His knowledge of the Scriptures was great, and his judgment and wisdom excellent. His love for the cause of God was equal to Luther's. The hearts of these men the Lord knit together. They were inseparable friends. Luther was a great help to Melanchthon when in danger of being fearful and slow, and Melanchthon in turn was a great help to Luther when in danger of moving too fast. Melanchthon's far-seeing caution often averted trouble which would have come upon the cause had the work been left alone to Luther, and oft times the work would not have been pushed forward had it been left to Melanchthon alone. I was shown the wisdom of God in choosing these two men to carry on the work of Reformation. I was then carried back to the days of the apostles and saw that God chose as a companion an ardent, zealous Peter and a mild, patient John. Sometimes Peter was impetuous, and often when this was the case, the beloved disciple would check him. This, however, did not reform him. But after he had denied his Lord, repented, and been converted, all he needed to check his ardor and zeal was a mild caution from John. the cause of Christ would often have suffered had it been left to John alone. Peter's zeal was needed. His boldness and energy often delivered them from difficulty and silenced their enemies. John was winning. He gained many to the cause of Christ by his patient forbearance and deep devotedness. God raised up men to cry against the existing sins of the papal church and carry forward the Reformation. Satan sought to destroy these living witnesses, but the Lord made a hedge about them. Some, for the glory of his name, were permitted to seal with their blood the testimony they had borne. But there were other powerful men like Luther and Melanchthon who could best glorify God by living and exposing the sins of priests, popes, and kings. These trembled before the voice of Luther and his fellow laborers. Through those chosen men, rays of light began to scatter the darkness, and very many joyfully received the light and walked in it. And when one witness was slain, two or more were raised up to take his place. But Satan was not satisfied. He could only have power over the body. He could not make the believers yield their faith and hope. And even in death, they triumphed with a bright hope of immortality at the resurrection of the just. They had more than moral energy. They dared not sleep for a moment, but kept the Christian armor girded about them, prepared for a conflict, not merely with spiritual foes, but with Satan in the form of men, whose constant cry was, "Give up your faith or die." These few Christians were strong in God and more precious in His sight than half a world who bear the name of Christ and yet are cowards in His cause. While the church was persecuted, its members were united and loving. They were strong in God. Sinners were not permitted to unite with the church. Those only who were willing to forsake all for Christ could be His disciples. These loved to be poor, humble, and Christ-like.